everyone. Welcome to Guilt by Association Football. I'm Ben McCormick, along with my co-hosts, Ryan McCauley and Rob Moyer. Ryan chose to come back following his contract issues with us, and he is now a co-host, and he appears to be happy with that.
I am back. Unlike Eddie Johnson, I was able to settle my disputes, and now we're back in business.
We've got Eddie Johnson on the docket, George John to Blackburn, Michael Bradley to somewhere, hopefully, Roma and Rangers Shopping American, whole host of things. So let's start with George John. So there's suddenly a Yank that's good enough to be Phil Jones' replacement. I had no idea. I had no clue he was that good.
I had no clue Phil Jones was that good.
Well, George John, you all know, has been courted by Greece on and off here and there. And to be honest, before that, I hadn't really paid much attention to him. I was kind of drawn to Lloyd with the Dallas back line. But, I mean, John showed enough to get called up, had that injury problem, and then kind of disappeared for me. And I didn't really track him very much. And then we saw him play Dallas versus Philly last week. And aside from the whole red card thing, he played spectacularly. I thought he was good in the air, very composed. And he showed me that he had enough to compete at a high level. I didn't think it'd be EPL high, but, well, that's why I'm not a scout, right?
I don't know if he's EPL high, because this seems to happen with Americans a lot. Americans make a big jump to a new club, and they're a little bit too big for their britches.
Well, I mean, it worked out for Bradley at Gladbach for the most part, except for now he's struggling. It
worked out for Josie, right?
Blackburn is
Kenny Cooper.
Blackburn isn't the same caliber as Villarreal is. Blackburn is, they're at best mid-table.
Yeah. Bradley went from MLS to here in Veen, and then he made the jump to Gladbach. I mean, for George John, this is MLS to the EPL.
That's very true.
Why wouldn't I want George John going to the Dutch league?
Why not?
Goals fly into the back.
Yeah, you don't want defenders going to the Dutch league.
That's where even Josie can prosper, as we're seeing right now.
Gooch didn't even play in the Dutch league. That says something. So, speaking of Michael Bradley, I think it's a little shocking how little we've heard about Michael Bradley rumors. I mean, with most of the other guys, there's been some concrete stuff, there's been bids made, but all Bradley's ever had was an offer for Spartak Moscow that he promptly turned down about a month ago, and nothing since.
Well, looking at the pay that Eto's getting over there, $28 million a season.
Oh my God. I don't know how he turned that down. And I don't know how Bradley didn't go.
Looks like Gladbach has no interest in keeping him at all after their great run to stay up into the Bundesliga. And what was it, Friday, I think they played? And they ended up routing Wolfsburg. He didn't start. Looks like they're pretty much succumbing to the fact that he's going to be gone.
Succumbing? They seem like they're exceeding.
Yeah, they have no
they're selling regardless.
They're doing well without him.
Yeah, they're not losing any sleep over him. I mean, there's all sorts of rumors of him for Italy. Roma is apparently, they need an American, and they need one bad.
Well, Bologna made a claim for him.
Oh, Bologna did make a claim. Yeah, that's right. I remember hearing about that. I would rather him go there than Roma.
Metro Stars could use him right now, right?
New York could use him right now, but I think he's above that level.
If Robbie Keane
He's above that level.
He's okay. All right. I won't even try to spite you.
He's above that level.
So we have Rangers, who picked up a couple of Americans, much to a certain Ryan McCauley's chagrin.
Much to a Catholic's chagrin.
Irish Catholic's chagrin.
Yeah, it's a dark day when Celtic sticks with no Yanks. Okay, down like Dom Serby counts, but he doesn't play.
He's an Oklahoma boy. He's American enough for me.
He's a cowboy.
My clubs are, I'm Yanks first. I like Fulham, but I'm Yank first, with the exception of Rangers. They're dead to me. All three of them, dead to me. Sorry, Ale, but you're dead to me.
Oh, that's cold.
Captain America, you're dead to me.
Sorry. Oh, you mean, except for when they're in the Yanks shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, but on the club level, they're dead to you.
Yes. I will not cheer for them under any circumstance.
See, I'll cheer for them, and, Irish Catholic, I don't like Celtic, but it's more of a when they play in the Derby, I hope that, the Yanks score 6 and Celtic score 7.
I think what we need to try and do here is schedule a Rangers Mexico national team friendly at Wrigley Field.
What? And then pray for it to burn
and
down.
And force Ryan McCauley to watch.
I don't think you'd
cuff me for that.
Yeah. We would have to cuff you to go to Wrigley voluntarily.
been there already. But regardless, I think the move for Bedoya, I don't think it's a good move, personally.
It's a sideways step. It's not a step up.
I mean, club-wise, it's a step up, but league-wise, are you really getting that much better competition?
You're getting two better matches a year.
Might as well just go to the MLS.
I'd say that MLS is of higher quality than most of the Scottish
league. Top to bottom.
I'd much rather see Bedoya make a leap over to the Netherlands.
Anywhere but Scotland. Well, especially where he's now liable to get injured pretty badly. I mean, Yanks don't do well.
I think we overplayed the Beasley injury. I mean, one was in Europa League, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And one was on loan, I think.
Yeah.
So neither were actually in Scottish play, to my recollection. But regardless,
You got hurt in Scotland, playing in the league.
That's true. But I don't think... I mean, Bocanegra, at that point in his career, he's just looking for a payday, I think.
Yeah, a three-year contract. I mean, that's pretty good until he's 35.
Which I think should quiet the rumors of Bocanegra back to Chicago for the time being, at least.
I think it'll happen eventually. It's just a matter of time. I was hoping that Jay would go back. I mean, Demerit's a Wisconsin boy. You know, we love Jay. But he chose to go to Canada. It's just weird to see a Canadian flag on his sleeve. It just doesn't make any sense.
It's very weird.
It's uncomfortable. So then, speaking of Yanks that would move back to MLS, Eddie Johnson is not coming to MLS. I don't understand where he's getting off.
He'll be sorely missed.
Well, I had my moment of glory. I texted both Ben and Rob saying, I told you I was right. Suck it. Eddie's coming back. Yes. And then he shits in my face.
Yeah.
And now we get to shit on yours.
Okay.
This is why the podcast is named what it is.
This is why we can't have nice things.
Eddie has no reason not to take it. I mean, the salary numbers were awesome. It was something like 175, grand a year. And that's way more than he's going to get anywhere.
And he got a pay raise from his last when he left Dallas to what he would get now, and he's done nothing to earn a pay raise. His last goal was against the Barbados. Am I wrong?
Mm-mm. You're right. And then he scored once for Cardiff, and yeah, that was kind of funny because the fans loved him and they were just so happy that after 23 appearances, Eddie finally put one in the back of the net.
Well, the best part of that is the YouTube clip of the fan yelling "Legend" with the ball in midair.
Eddie Johnson, God, he was so good. I mean, he was the savior not long ago. Everyone thought he was.
Everyone's the savior.
Oh, everyone is the savior.
Well, he came in. He was what? Was he 6'4"? Putting home goals left and right.
Okay, now
when he was younger.
He is a grown ass man, but
he is a grown ass man. He is a grown ass man.
He's like 6'2", maybe.
Okay, well, yeah. Either way, whenever we get a promising young player, especially an attacker,
scores goals.
Maybe I'm sure U.S. fans jump to the conclusion that he's going to be
the next greatest thing.
The guy who's going to lead us to the next level, and they never are.
So my question:
it's more than one player that you need.
My question is: did we do that to Charlie Davies? He had 4 caps before we christened him.
Are we doing that to Agudelo right now? Agudelo isn't playing for the Red Bulls.
Well, I think New York's done well to slow play him.
Well,
I think they know what
New
doing.
York is slow playing him, but I don't think American fans are giving him.
Well,
the
we couldn't have
the
predicted
doubt.
That Charlie Davies was going to get into a car accident, and if that doesn't happen, who knows where he's at right now?
Yeah, I think he might actually earn that title.
He's probably he's still with Social.
He's at DCU now.
Let's go ahead and speculate because we will never know what he would have been, and we're stuck hoping and thinking. Well, what could have been?
Yeah. So
off the record, Eddie is 6-0.
Six
flats.
Okay.
Is it?
And the Panama hat trick was almost 7 years ago.
Oh, jeez. So last time we had the podcast, we were rude. We didn't properly introduce ourselves. So we would just like to talk about where we started as fans so you guys have a feel for us as
kind of get to know us as people.
Right.
Not just gorgeous talking heads. And I would like to thank the voters for voting me 100 as the best looking.
I'm sorry. I thought that I voted for somebody, which may or may not have been myself.
I also voted for myself.
Oh.
So.
So it is 100.
I'm the closest looking to Breck Shea. So I think I'll take best looking.
I don't know about that.
That's your opinion.
Close in height. I used to have a mohawk.
Scoreboard, yes. Rob. Scoreboard. 1-1-0.
Yes, indeed.
Who's the guy with a 0? Anyway, Ryan, your history as a fan, would you like to start?
No.
Oh, fine. So, freshman year of high school, my high school was soccer crazy, and so I decided that for the OA Champions League final, I was going to give it a shot. I was going to watch it. That was Chelsea, Manchester United. That was Drogba's red card. In added time, John Terry hit the post.
And it was a fucking disgrace.
And, oh, it was, that was horrific.
Your fucking...
So, so after that, I decided that I decided I liked it, so I wanted to keep going. And then I noticed that was the summer where America played the friendlies leading up to the Barbados match. It was England, Spain,
and Argentina.
I watched those and was hooked, you know, from the get-go. Even though we lost against England, we lost against Spain. I had a ton of fun. Argentina was a great match. And then, you know, once you go up 8-0 on Barbados, that had me right there. That was where it started, and
scoring
here we are.
1 minute into
qualifiers. Nothing like destroying the hopes of a tiny little island, right?
That's begging for players on their website.
Rob?
I started, I guess, around 1999, U.S. versus China in the Women's World Cup final. Who was it? Brandi Chastain took her shirt off.
Indeed.
Good times.
Was that really what got you? Was it Brandi Chastain taking her shirt off, or was it
that was not what got me in. The game was good, but that was the first match I watched. What really got me into it was the 2002 World Cup. And then from there, I was really kind of, like, looking at clubs, more still, like, U.S., like Ryan, and then stumbled upon poor old Newcastle United.
What happened to Atletico? You ignore them entirely?
Yeah, Atletico was there when I was looking for my favorite team. I don't know. I'm just a sucker for punishment. That's why I support. That's why I support Newcastle, the Union, the U.S. national team, all of whom will never win the most coveted prize that they can.
Mediocrity is gold to Robert Moyer.
Mediocrity is very sexy.
I guess for me, it actually dates back to the late '90s. I saw the U.S. women play South Korea at Eline Soccer Park in Milwaukee in the late '90s, and. It was a particularly rainy day, and the U.S. routed South Korea, and every goalie slid right into the corner. Big puddle where we were sitting, so we got splashed as Mia Hamm and everyone dove into the corner. So I think, you know, being at that game kind of, you know, drew me in again for... I played soccer growing up. I think we all pretty much did, because we're American kids, and that's what we do.
Yeah.
And then we ignored for a while, which I did. Kind of had a love-hate relationship. Quit the game too early and got angry at the game and myself, but... Whoops, but, you know, got back in, again, summer of 06, kind of, I'd watched a bit of the qualifiers that were on ESPN or ABC when they were on TV, but then the 06 warm-up against Morocco and, you know, that send-off series,
Latvia,
yep, and I've seen every game but one since the Morocco match back in 06. I've got, I think, 7 or 8 caps, 2 women's caps, 5 U.S. caps, and looking for my youth cap. We're hoping to get one during the Olympics this summer, or next summer, I guess.
Yeah, the Olympics were that first summer when I actually started to follow, and I woke up at 4 in the morning and watched those matches. That was exciting stuff. I mean, that was Stu Holden and Sacha were coming out.
Well, I remember waking up for the 2002 World Cup, and it was right before my freshman year in high school. And wake up before Market High strength and conditioning camp. I'd go to bed at 10 o'clock, wake up at 2 to watch the games. Kind of half sleep through most of them because it was really early. I still remember just being livid at Hugh Dallas for blowing that game, forgetting to call the handball.
Ugh.
But, yeah. And
Torsten Frings, we still hate you.
Yeah.
Not over that.
Not
glad
here,
you're in Canada.
Yes. Stick there and go on that sinking ship. But yeah, ever since then, you know, it's been my heroine.
There that is. Okay. Well, there you go. That's us in a nutshell, our soccer stories. So moving forward, a few segments that we're going to try out. First one is our J. Demerit update. What would a Milwaukee-based podcast be without a J. Demerit update?
Crap. It'd be crap.
Oh, yeah. It would be absolutely horrible. So J. Demerit currently in Portland for the big match. And he's still playing for a Canadian team, which bugs me.
but he is back playing.
Yeah, he is back playing from the injury.
Were you guys watching the match on Saturday?
Mm-mm.
Well, then it looks like I'm going to be talking about that.
Get at it.
Go.
Well, they were playing Vancouver, so obviously he was focusing.
You mean he plays for Vancouver?
They are Vancouver.
Yes, Vancouver. So they were playing Portland, so he was marking Perlaza. Trying to think who else is in their attack.
Cooper.
Yeah, Kenny Cooper didn't start.
I don't think Portland has an attack.
They got Fuddy Donzo.
Well, even with that said, they lost 2-1, but I feel like you could attribute that more to Jordan Harvey's incompetence. They're starting left back.
There's a lot of that to go around.
He's pretty awful.
Says the bitter Union fan.
Yes. The Union fan over here.
There were a few times where balls were played into the box, and he could have obviously just kicked it away, but instead he got down and headed it away. So we know that the good old Jay's coming back, where he just heads everything away, no matter how more difficult it will be. But he looks good, and got to say, it's kind of a little disappointing that we don't see more of him with the national team still.
Well, it sucks because he's in a crappy place with Vancouver. I mean, they fired their manager. It's weird how they did that, because they did that after only, you know, more than a handful of matches. But when they drafted a 17-year-old striker with the first overall pick, I felt as though that
Wasn't even eligible at the time.
No, yeah, he wasn't even eligible to play for them at the time. I felt as though that they were making a commitment to the youth, to the future. And then they decide that they're not getting results, so they fire their manager. So Jay's there, and he's the captain, and he's doing his best, but I'd like to see him back in Chicago, if I can be selfish, but out of Vancouver.
It's our podcast.
Should just go back to Watford. Why not?
Oh, that was such a great documentary. Rise and Shine, the Jay DeMaris story. If you haven't seen it, definitely make an effort to. It's going to be awesome.
I have not seen it.
You weren't there with us.
I know.
Pansy. All right, so that wraps up the Jay DeMaris update segment. Now, the Yank of the Week, we're all going to go around and give who we think are the Yanks of the Week around the world, MLS, abroad, whatever. I'll start out. I think it's obvious choice. Josie Altidore, the brace for Alkmaar. This is big. You know, Josie's actually on the field. And when Josie's on the field and in form, the guy's a dynamo. I mean, he can be that striker. But all he's needed is playing time for a team that's not fighting relegation. I mean, Hull City was a learning experience, you can call it that. But he's producing. He's got 3 goals in 3 total appearances. Hasn't even started the match yet.
He had 3 in 3 years.
Yeah, exactly. So this is quite the start. So that's why I think he's an obvious choice for the Yank of the Week.
Well, like you, Ben, I am also looking at Josie and also looking at Danny Califf. But I think just squeaking it out will be Josie Altidore.
Why Danny Califf?
To make me angry.
I was very happy. We only gave up 2 goals this week to Columbus.
What is
it? But I will go with Josie. I will be honest. I just heard about his 2 goals earlier. But, hell, if he's scoring, it's got my attention. It's got my Yank of the Week award.
Well, I guess I have to come in here and ask, okay, fine. He scored 3 goals in the last month, but he's playing in Holland, the Netherlands. And
they don't just give out goals in Holland.
No, they give
out pretty much.
They give out other things, but not goals.
I've seen fans score goals during games. Everyone scores goals during Dutch league games. Do we think he keeps his pace up at a...
Michael Bradley scored goals during...
Yeah, Bradley scored 10,
well, if nothing
goals.
Else, at least he's getting confidence playing, right?
That's very true.
And scoring goals...
True.
And we hope that when he gets back with the Nets, when he sees the ball at his feet, the attacking 30 won't shit himself.
Which you've seen
Omar Arellano has done.
He has done that.
He has shit his pants with the ball.
Indeed. My Yank of the Week goes to Breck Shea. Kind of a combined award the last 2 weeks for his performance against Mexico, his performance against Philly. And also helping Dallas get the first MLS win in Mexico in the history of the league.
They did against the Little Sisters of the Poor.
I don't care. They beat a Mexican team. They were scared. That's why they brought their youth team up, because they were scared. That's why.
They wanted an excuse to fall back on, like we did at 09 Gold Cup. Right?
That's exactly what it was. It was their excuse for, they're going to lose, let's duck and cover, and then let Breck Shea do his stuff all over us. That came out wrong.
That probably wasn't entirely what you were planning
to say. That's not what I meant to say.
That's okay.
That's a Freudian slip.
Yeah.
Not gay sex.
Come on.
Whoa. Oh, boy. Guilt by association football.
Guilt by
Here
association
we are.
Football.
So that segues quite well into our word of the week, which is brexual.
Our word of the week is brexual.
Brexual. Which is an adjective, which means being American and insanely awesome, or a blonde mullet nature. Right. Feels like that's pretty fair. So that should enter all three of our listeners.
You can hashtag that on Twitter. You'll find
many
Macaulay
of my posts.
Tweeting it up on there.
Yes.
You'll find posts from our long ride back from Philadelphia.
Can we have Rob use brexual in a sentence, please? Please give us an example of brexual using a sentence.
Waiting.
That shirt is very brexual.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
Okay, there we are. And that's a word of the week.
So now we've got upcoming friendlies against Costa Rica and Belgium. Costa Rica, out on the West Coast. Odd choice for locations, if you ask me. I mean, within a few days, you want to go from Los Angeles to Belgium. It would have been much easier to put this thing in the Midwest or even, you know, down in Florida, because they've been hungering for a match.
Well, I think when I first saw the announcement, I thought, well, it's naturally going to have MLS playing, MLS or Mexican-based guys playing Costa Rica, and then have the Euro-based guys play in Belgium. But we saw with the Chandler kerfuffle that doesn't seem to be the case, because Jurgen wants to bring in Chandler for both Costa Rica and Belgium, which I think kind of throws a monkey or wrench into that plan.
Well, maybe on the plane ride over from LA to Belgium, Jurgen will put a gun to his head and say, you better play in a qualification match with us, so you definitely can't go back to Germany.
I don't know if gun to the head is the right way.
Why we shouldn't be worried about Chandler.
I'm not worried about Chandler.
Well, maybe just never mind. I'm not touching that one.
I think you already did.
That thing.
Do you think he's going to switch?
Timmy Chandler?
Yes.
No.
Then what are you worried about?
It's just the thought.
Exactly.
We've been burned in the past.
We have been burned.
We will not say his name. We aren't going to say the name of that center back who plays for Serbia on this podcast. It won't happen.
Fucking guy.
I'd say Chandler I'm not worried about.
Let's stick with center backs. My guy who I think should be given another chance at center back.
When he had previously played
at a different position, Marvell Wynn.
I feel like I want to punch you.
At center back. Hear me out.
Okay, we're here.
He's not at left back.
30 seconds.
You do not have to deal with him crossing the ball.
He played right back, first of all.
Whatever. I'm pretty sure against Costa Rica he played left back.
I'm pretty sure he played right back.
Okay.
Either way,
in center back, he gets to showcase more of his strength and speed, and he can have make-up speed in case we get beat or when he gets beat numerous times. And if he's not playing right back, he's not putting crosses in. So we don't have to worry about that disaster.
He's in the reason he was called up for that was because we're playing on AstroTurf and he was going to run track all day. He was brought in just to run. That's why Beasley played left back, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, Beasley did.
They were brought in to just run all day. If you're gonna waste a spot on Marvell Wynn. Anywhere. If you're going to waste your time putting Wynn on the back line, you're going to put him on the wing because he's fast. He does not know how to play soccer. He is soccer inept. He does not know how to play the game. He has no positional awareness.
Well, soccer is boring.
You're boring. He doesn't know how to position himself. He doesn't know how to play with the ball at his feet. And with the new emphasis on playing out of the back, the last thing I want to see is Marvell Wynn dribbling. I would literally rather cut my head off with a rusty blade than see Marvell Wynn dribbling more than twice.
Marvell Wynn is just... I've been all over the people who make FIFA.
So many O-Tine things running through my head right now.
Anger running through my head right now. Why would you even bring that up? I'm having flashbacks seeing his ass getting toasted and I'm...
Deep breaths. I told you that this is going to be bad.
Yeah, they sprung this one out. This is not on the outline. This is not prepared for this.
This is Rob Moyer going wild card.
Where did this come from? What made you think to bring this up?
He texted me this
because I was watching him when he played against us at center back, and he did well.
Because it was a union. The Union can't score goals. They score. They drew.
He was shutting down Jack Mack.
They drew down.
Oh, they're Danny Malaga. Sebastian, I can score a goal. Latou. That's some impressive company.
Yeah. Okay. You keep telling yourself that, Rob.
They held them to one goal. I'm only half being bullshit right here.
Okay. No, you're completely being bullshit.
Marvel win. See, I've been all over the guys who make FIFA for years is because Marvel Wynn's rightful vision and awareness rating should be zero.
Zero.
Absolutely nothing. Zero. He has no idea where he... I don't even think... See, him and Eddie Johnson ought to have a talk and, like, go see a coach about offsides because I don't think they understand. Wait, you mean I can't go past... I can't be here.
Am I supposed to be near the goal? No, Eddie, get off the... Eddie, stop hugging the post. Eddie, no, Eddie, let go. Let go, Eddie.
Marvel, move forward. No. He's...
But they're going to get past me.
That's what Rob is saying. It doesn't matter with Marvel winning because they'll just catch back up to him.
It's not like Danny Caleb being out of position.
Danny Caleb is always out of position.
That guy's 2 feet away from me. He's long gone.
The OTC has returned.
Okay, so...
Can we please petition Jurgen to strike the name Marvel Wynn from any record books he ever has? Can we please call up Soccer House? I will drive down to Soccer House in Chicago as long as I never... I will personally give Klinsmann $400 out of my wallet to never see Marvel ever again. Ever again.
I don't think $400 is enough for a good left back.
He's a right back.
Oh my gosh.
We need a left back.
Fabian Johnson, but that's another discussion.
Since Ben won't do it, I'm going to toot Ben's horn here. Fabian Johnson recently came out saying he wants to play for the U.S. He's open to the opportunity. Which coincides less than a week, maybe 10 days after Ben's article calling for Fabian Johnson to be called up.
Somebody must have saw it.
Obviously, you've gone global.
Clearly.
Basically, Ben McCormick just got his left back.
Everyone out there, I mean, you
Ben
both
G
who are listening
president.
Right now, you're welcome.
Yes.
To replace Sunil.
This is my official. Thank you, Ben. You got us a left. We have a left back now. Assuming he doesn't flick out. But... For the time being, thank you, Ben.
And if worse situation happens, we have another mediocre left back in the pool. Who cares?
I'm cool with that.
Yeah, really. I mean,
better than Edgar Castillo.
Put it on board.
He had one
put on
match.
Board.
He had one match with two training sessions. No, okay, 2 days of training because they did a couple training sessions a day. But I don't know if that's enough to really evaluate his total makeup on.
No, I've watched him play for a few years now, and he's never shown me. This is Castillo again. That's show me anything that convinced me he could be a good left back. He might be a decent left winger, but he can't be a good left back unless he learns to play defense, which I haven't seen from him yet.
I like him because he's fast and he's got the tools and he's got the touch, but he doesn't have the awareness. Like, you know, he's got...
So he's okay. Marvel Wynn with touch. Marvel Wynn with some kind of touch.
Okay, he's not Marvel Wynn bad. But
one's Marvel Wynn bad.
He's like, you know, he's a small step above Marvel Wynn.
And then there's Rob, grinning like an idiot for riling me up about Marvel Wynn.
It made for a brilliant conversation. I'm going to say that was pretty entertaining.
I get off pissing you off. What can I say?
That's weird.
I'm not endorsing that. That's not.
This is why we can't have nice things.
This is why this podcast is so close to going over the edge.
This is why no one's ever listened to our podcast.
Okay, well, this past weekend there was also...
Followers on Twitter, Rob. This is why.
Besides my beloved Union, again, not winning a match, Seattle also went to Dallas to take on the team that just came off that big win in Mexico midweek.
And
they lost at home to Seattle 1-0.
So
it begs the question. I mean, we looked at both those teams, I guess. I'm assuming that you guys did as the teams who would give L.A. the biggest run for their money in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Seattle?
Seattle
plays well.
Seattle's been coach playing very well lately. By that man is in good shape.
You see, I don't think they're a threat yet. I don't think they're a title contender, honestly.
Seattle?
Well, what? I think they have the second best record in MLS now.
They do, but I still don't see them as a title contender. I think it's either Dallas or the Galaxy.
If Montero starts to get it together.
We've been saying that since he joined the league. Freddie plays when he wants to play.
Well, Freddie was better last year. This year has just been atrocious, besides that Portland match where he had two.
I mean, we're looking at the standings here, and yeah, Seattle is, you know, right behind the Galaxy in the West. But if we're looking at teams that are on fire, no, let's get Columbus.
So would you say Real Salt
Dilly
Lake
Duca
is
for the win? That guy.
Would you take Real Salt Lake over Columbus then?
Oh, that's tough. See, because the Crew are on a roll, and we all know the quality of RSL. And we know what they can do, but I just don't know if they've been doing it.
I think that
they have a lot of games in hand, I believe, over the rest
of the
season.
By the way, Luis Gil, second MLS goal this past weekend. The dude is 17. I'm not anointing anybody, but if America has a shot right now at a guy who's going to be a true number 10, he's probably our closest.
I've gone on record as saying I do not think he has potential as a number 10. I didn't think he had it in him, but the last month or two, Lou has showed me a lot of something which I didn't see from him. I didn't think he'd have the size, first of all, to compete at a major level, but he seems to be tough enough to fight off the challenges in a pretty rough league, let's be honest. It's a pretty rough league.
Mm-hmm.
And he's shown a bit of a bite. He's shown the vision that, you know, got him to where he was. And I'm now on record as saying I was wrong about Luis Gil.
Oof. And give all the credit in the world to Christ.
Absolutely.
I mean, Christ has been absolutely great for them. I mean, first of all, RSL is a first-class organization. I think we all know that. We all realize that. And they've got some players who have certainly shown on the ropes. I mean, Javi Morales, you know, Espíndola have probably been great influences for him. So we need more players who are his age to be in environments like that. I mean, other environments like out on the East Coast, we got the Revolution and Fagundes. I don't know if that's exactly where I don't know if that's exactly where he needs to be to really.
No one needs to be in New England.
No, nobody, except for Steve Nichol, because without him, they don't have a franchise.
That's very true.
Well, I just came up with an idea.
Oh boy,
here it goes.
This is how revolutionary we are. This podcast is going to be the first one where we start doing an MLS power rankings for the top five.
That's not the first.
First for us podcast. This is how we just wing it. Now I know why Ryan and Ben keep me on here. Besides my great looks, which were just meant for radio.
Yes.
So
you have a face meant for radio.
Yes, I have a face meant for radio.
And you're proud of that.
Yes.
Like a boss. Okay, let's do it. Top five.
Am I going first?
It's your idea.
Do it.
Run with it.
Five. I am going to go with Columbus.
Number one or five?
At five.
Sorry.
Five going down.
I think my top five. Up. Here we go. Number one.
At four, I would have Real Salt Lake. I would have Dallas at three, Seattle at two, and the Galaxy at one. So I believe that's one through four in the West, and then the top team in the East sitting at five. That's how much weaker the East is.
The Rapids are fourth in the West right now.
Okay.
Out of Salt Lake.
I'll take, at number five, I'll take FC Dallas. The only reason why I'm pulling them back that far is that if George John is really gone,
McCauley
like he's
is not
gone,
looking happy.
Is
you are disturbing without, his abruption.
He makes a good point.
Without George John, they're starting.
But right they now, try to they start, have George John.
He's in Greece getting a passport so that he can move to Blackburn. He's gone.
Okay, fine.
So they tried to start Zach Lloyd. I believe he got hurt, and then they were playing Jackson back there. Which, I mean, honestly, like, you know, okay.
Ezekiel Jackson. he might be better at center back than.
Well, I was thinking either Ezekiel or Michael.
And Michael is.
And still might be better option still than.
Well, they'd all be better than Danny Califf, right?
That's very
accurate. Yeah. And Marvelin.
I'd rather have a corpse in the back there.
That fan would be a better option right there.
That fan's got a fast blade, I don't know.
It's quick.
Could be the Destroyer.
Does he Marvel win quick?
Great distribution, too.
Oh, there we go. So we got
Dallas 5 for Benny.
Dallas at 5. I got the Sounders at 4. Just because, yeah, I don't know if they can really do it. I mean, they've got a nice record, and it's a good-looking record, but I just don't think that they have what it takes to really finish the job and actually win the first MLS title.
The guy who really impresses me on Seattle, the Uruguayan Fernandez.
Yeah.
Very good player. Seattle probably gets the most games on TV out of everyone, partially just because of their crowd. And being able to watch them so much, I get to see Fernandez, and every time he has impressed me.
And after that, I would say RSL. RSL's fair. RSL, you know, has always been a quality side. And they do have the tools to make another run at the MLS title. And if they won, no one would be surprised. Not in the least. Number two would be the Crew. They've got...
Really?
Yeah, the Crew are on fire. And to be honest, they're on fire at the right time of the season. I mean, because they're starting to make that push in the last part of the season. If they keep this going and they keep a nice record going, you know, playoffs are a crapshoot within themselves.
Yeah, the Rapids last year snuck in and right there.
Well, yep. If you have the Crew at 2, then that means you must have the Union at 1, right? Or the Red Bulls.
I have the Union somewhere around 18.
Thank you.
Okay,
you have us behind the Union behind the Revs. That should be. They have the upcoming Toilet Bowl this weekend.
What's Toilet Bowl?
Dead last.
Revs and Union.
Oh my
gosh. Go at it this weekend at PPL.
The Wooden Spoon.
You guys are in for a laugh. You can tune into that one. Okay, Ben. Number one is
obviously the LA Galaxy. I mean, right now. Show me one part of the lineup that's not MLS championship quality, if not CONCACAF Champions League championship quality. I mean, the addition of Robbie Keane is absolutely huge. He's already scored. Now, granted, it wasn't like a beautiful goal that he created, but he's got presence.
Well, he got the keeper off his feet. He did what he beat the keeper, got him off his feet, and tapped it. That's what you need to do as a goal scorer. Put the ball in the net, and it ain't possible, and he did it.
So I think that right now, if I had, I would bet my bottom dollar on LA winning the MLS title. They're absolutely quality.
Now, I went back and looked at Seattle's results since the All-Star break, and right off the bat, they lost 3-1 to Houston. I mean,
Houston has been playing better, to be fair, though.
They
just passed us for second in the East.
That's cute. And then Seattle...
Love you, too.
Seattle beat San Francisco 2-0 at home. Beat KC on the road 2-1, which is a big... It's a good win. I think
that was the one with two really late goals, wasn't it?
It was a great comeback, which I think is a testament to Seattle's go attitude and just the weak spine that you have from...
And the fact that they're just much more talented than Kansas City.
Well, that's true. But I think, yeah, that they just overwhelmed a better team. Or a worse team. Then they drew at home 0-0 to Chivas, USA. That's not something that makes me think top five team in the league. If you draw at home to Chivas without scoring a goal, that doesn't give me any confidence in your ability to play soccer.
At all.
And then over the weekend, yeah, at Dallas 1-0. So they've had two... They've had one just straight up shit result with no. You can't come back from a goals draw at home to Chivas, who are the worst team in the last 5 years.
Oh, absolutely! They're
awful.
They're the pits of the league.
Well, it's
really, well, they come from the same city as the Clippers.
Fair
the
enough.
Second team that no one cares about. Both same, red,
same arena,
and white.
Same arena. What?
They share an arena with the better team.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Not the Staples Center, but...
Yes. So I don't include...
Well, let's hear them.
Yeah,
top five.
What do you got?
Starting with five.
At five, I'm going to go with the Rapids, honestly. I think that Rapids are 5 for me.
It's fair.
I mean, the
He's
numbers,
really thinking hard here, people.
I mean, the numbers look good for
Person
Seattle.
Listening to the podcast.
Fine. I'm going to put Seattle at 5 just because the numbers look good. Their form doesn't look good, but fuck it. Sounders are 5.
Seattle, okay.
Seattle's 5.
So Colorado's 4?
No, they're 6.
Okay.
They had bumped off. I've got Salt Lake at 4. I think they have the most overall quality, top to bottom in the league. I mean, they don't have a glaring weakness anywhere, really. It's just they've been sputtering since that loss in the CCL final. So, I mean, if they can get back from that, again, so they have a lot of games in hand. I think they've got, what, 3 games in hand on the Galaxy, 4 on the Rapids. So they got plenty of time to make up space. I think when it's all said and done, the Seattle or Real will be there in the mix again. I think 3 is the Crew, because they're on fire right now. Number 2, Dallas. Number 1, the Galaxy. I think right now, if the Galaxy don't win the Cup, they should be ashamed of themselves.
That's a disappointment. Huge disappointment. So there you go, Rob. How'd you like your MLS Top 5 power rankings?
Thought it went pretty good. So we think we're going to see another West final with LA hosting Dallas again?
I hope so. That'd be a good time.
It wouldn't be surprising.
I believe, didn't that finish 3-0 Dallas last year? Or was it 2? I just remember Dallas went in to Home Depot Center in the West Final and just smacked them.
Thrashed them. I think it was 3.
It was a good beating.
It was a big number.
They're going to have a chance to redeem themselves, the Galaxy.
All right, there you go. There's your Rob Moyer MLS Top 5 Power Rankings.
Completely uncompared MLS rap.
Okay. Well, we're going to keep doing this every week, people. So,
well, speaking of MLS, let's go into their NBC deal.
MLS is on, has just signed the big TV contract with NBC, which I think is absolutely huge for the league. It's a great day. And honestly, you know, they're on cable TV. They made it to cable TV on a regular basis. It sounds like a weekly thing on Versus. They're going to have an MLS match. And that,
I think it's 43 games for the MLS on NBC or the newly dubbed NBC Sports Network,
which is formerly.
Versus.
And is that going to be on? That's still on cable television then?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then 4 Nats matches. So I think this might be the beginning of MLS overpassing NHL as the number 4 league.
It's the beginning, and I think it's still going to take a few years, but especially with basketball and not playing, Nick. And okay, brief thing on that, extraordinarily brief. I firmly believe that basketball will not be played next year, which means that fans are going to turn elsewhere, which will be NHL, EPL.
But I mean, I don't think the NBA crowd is going to hop on the MLS crowd right off the bat. I don't think you're going
to see. I think the NBA crowd hop to the college basketball crowd.
You think so?
I think they're more focused. They're going to focus on college basketball instead.
It's an easier transition than the MLS.
Okay, so regardless, the NBC contract's a big deal.
Yes,
it's awesome.
It's a big deal.
I'm excited that going to school now, I'm going to be able to get MLS matches.
Well, if you don't, you can always come over here. I got the digital cable. Fox Soccer Channel. It's quite the
Speaking hub. Of that, do we think Fox Soccer Plus is dead now?
Oh, so Fox Soccer Plus was already like half of a channel. It wasn't even soccer, half of it. It was rugby.
That's why I think it'll stay around.
Really? You think they're going to... Well, because it used to be Fox Sports World, and they changed it to FSC. So you think they're going to...
Well, correct me if I'm missing the boat on this, but I never even knew that they played MLS games on Fox Soccer Plus. Do they?
I think the issue isn't programming, it's sponsorship. I mean, look what they're showing on Fox Soccer now for their ads. I mean,
I've seen other Proactive commercials on the screen.
Their biggest sponsors are Proactive and Magic Jack, which...
Shake Weight.
The Shake Weight.
And the Shake Weight.
So, I mean, if that's the high caliber they're getting right now, when they're going to lose MLS and they're going to lose the U.S. national team... What's in it for sponsors to go on there? I think the big problem will be getting sponsor dollars for Fox Soccer now.
It'll be interesting. Maybe we'll see them do more of a reaching out to European American spectators then.
I wouldn't be surprised if we saw more. If we saw Fox Soccer try and grab rights to even more leagues. I mean, even reaching down a little bit.
Go for like the Dutch league.
Well, what about the Rangers thinking about that?
Rangers?
Rangers are in talks with Fox Soccer right now to have
to exclusively broadcast to work a deal. Matches.
So Rangers are grabbing up Yanks in an attempt to get play on
American TV.
which makes me angry, more angry than you could possibly imagine.
I think Fox Soccer's is in a tough spot, and FSC itself, I don't think is going anywhere. But Fox Soccer Plus, certainly some things that they have to hash out. And the last topic that we had to bring up, probably fit in better somewhere else, is that, okay, American fans, you know, deep breaths, Norway trying to call in Mix, and he's one of my favorite prospects. He's an attacking midfielder. The guy played very, very well during his cap in January. And, yeah, it's certainly troubling, and they seem confident that they're going to be able to pull it off.
Gentlemen. Well, do we have a background on this guy? Like, was he born in America?
Born Norwegian, but he's been fully committed to American youth teams. He came to the 20 World Cup for us. Yeah, well, okay. He started
How old was he when he came to America then?
Rangan basically stole him during a game. Rangan approached him during a game and asked, hey. During a corner kick and asked, do you have a passport? He said, yes, we'll talk after the game. Rangan literally pulled him out of a Norway jersey and put a Yanks jersey on. And now Rangan's gone.
Marco.
Is that a coincidence?
I don't know if that's a coincidence because, okay, now, it would be different if Mix hadn't made the jump to the senior national team prior to that, but he did get a cap in January, and he played well.
Played very well.
He did, and he showed a lot of the qualities which we've been missing. A center mid with attacking qualities.
The assist to Agudelo was absolutely nasty.
It was really something else. And Mix would be a tragic loss. I mean, well, okay, not tragic right now, but in the future, 2014 I'm talking about, that it would be enormous if we lost Mix.
You definitely see two young men here crying.
Oh, I will shed.
Oh, yeah, I will shed tears.
I will fill a bottle full of tears.
Oh, my word.
And maybe more importantly, I'll need to get a new person for my U.S. jersey. I'm waiting on my red kit.
You will never get a Danny Califf kit. Drop it, Rob. It's not going to happen.
The best gift you could give me would be a Califf jersey so I could light it on fire and throw it into the river.
I was waiting for you to set his head on like a torch or something.
I don't want him dead. I just want him not off the national team.
Well, I'm pretty sure if your head's on a torch, you're going to be dead.
I don't want him dead. I just want him off the national team. I don't wish ill on him.
The first thing I want is for all of the hair gel really to be taken out of his hair. Then. That's the first thing that's got to happen is he's got to quit whatever mohawk thing he's got going on. Hate that.
Indeed.
Well, then again, that's a Philadelphia thing. He's a badass.
Okay.
He sucks.
He sucks.
He sucks, but he's a badass. He must be from Philly.
Irregardless, Diskerud to Norway would be a big deal. I think losing him would suck in the short term. It'd be very bad in 2014 and tragic in 2018. So I think he's the
2018
guy.
2018 is his prime.
I think he is the guy in 2018. I think he is the guy we build a team around in 2018.
You see, American fans like to hype up players who have improved a whole lot on the club level. They're young, they're talented, and they are talented. But Mix has been doing this for 3 years now in Norway, 4-1 of Norway's best teams. I believe they're top five in the table.
He's right been now. The most consistent person playing in Europe, not named Clint Dempsey.
Absolutely. He's started year in and year out at Stabæk, and fans right now more than ever, especially because last weekend he did put in a man-of-the-match performance, they're afraid that here in the next week or two they're going to lose him. You know,
I don't know.
At the club level. Now, I don't think he should move right now. I think maybe January or next summer. One more year of being that star at Stabæk would be good for him.
I don't know why we're dragging our feet on Mix. Why didn't he get called in against Mexico?
Maybe they know something.
I don't know if he didn't get called in. I think that maybe it was club posturing on the part of Jurgen, which he certainly did with a lot of different players.
But I think
we didn't call in Gad either. And Gad, we didn't even talk about Gad this podcast.
He didn't score a goal this week, so.
Yeah, he did not score a goal.
He's off the radar.
What have
you done for me lately?
Goals bring attention, people.
That's how it works.
Yes.
What have you done for me today?
Okay, first of all, plug for Josh Gad. In my opinion, future American winger. I think that he's going to be the guy who actually pushes Landon Donovan out of his spot when Donovan starts to go downhill, which almost seemed like in the Gold Cup he started to do. But here in this last match against Mexico, he kind of made me eat some crow there. I thought that he was on his way out.
Yeah, Josh Gatt's nasty.
Josh Gatt is nasty. Look him up on YouTube. You can find his goals. The dude plants a left back on his ass in one of them. And
just try to watch him play. His goals are impressive, but his consistent performance is more impressive.
And he's 19. And his coach, the baby-faced assassin, he actually went to Sir Alex and said, "Hey, I got this amazing American guy, and you should take him on trial." And that's pretty big honors for anyone, especially an American.
And have Solskjaer go to bat for you is it's a nice thing to put in your resume.
It's a very nice thing to have in your resume. That's all we have for this edition of Guilt by Association Football.
Yeah, our second podcast is wrapped up.
Our second podcast is in the books. I thought it went pretty well. Well, we will see you guys hopefully within the next week with the U.S. roster being announced at the end of this week, we're hearing, or it was reported by Stephen Goff from the Washington Post. So we'll talk to you next week. Thanks.
Later.
Adios.